Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. God, as we delve and read through your word, as we study your word, I pray in the name of Jesus, let this light of God that shines away every manner of darkness shine in our hearts like never before and cause us to see Jesus glorified in us and us glorified in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. So the writer of Hebrews, speaking from where we left yesterday, that he say the mortal man receives people who die. And it's easier for us to read this scripture out of context and conclude on things that are not there. So it is important as a student of the Bible to be diligent enough to read the word of God in context. Because here the writer of Hebrews was talking about the giving that had happened in the Old Testament, the Abrahamic tithe to Melchizedek. So it is a very, very important, a vital key to know that reading things in context or scriptures in context is very important. Look at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 7. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. We say the spoils yesterday was what Abraham recovered after these four kings who captured and won the battle over the five kings and took together with Abraham's nephew or brother to a son to the brother. They took everything, that is, they took everything of Lot, plus the men, the women, and the children. So Abraham recovered everything with these 318 men. So in that, you find that he gave a tenth of the spoils, the things that he had gotten, the tenth of the spoils. Then Abraham took nothing of it. He said, I will not take anything from this, lest you say you have made Abraham rich. So in short, Abraham won, took the spoils, gave a tenth of those spoils, then the rest of the things he returned to the owner or the people who they belonged to and gave the king of Sodom to actually remain with the rest. So in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5, and indeed those who were of the sons of Levi who received the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithe from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithe from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So he's talking about Melchizedek. He was not in the lineage of the Levites, but he received and blessed Abraham, who, he said, who had promises. Look at verse 7. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Scripture in Genesis chapter 14, what we are looking at, that where Abraham tied to Melchizedek. In Genesis 13, we find Abraham was already rich in cattle, silver, and gold. So he was already rich. He was not giving the tithe to become rich. And when he says, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So he's saying beyond all contradiction. I want us to look at this in a different version. And I want us to look at it in a amplified version. Verse 7. Yet it is beyond all dispute that the lesser person is always blessed by the greater one. Look at that. Furthermore, here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death. But in that case, concerning Melchizedek, they are received by one whom it is testified that he lives on perpetually. Or another version says, it is witnessed that he lives. So he lives, but he doesn't have an end. So it is important to know that Melchizedek is not Christ Jesus. Rather, his priesthood is foreshadowed as Christ. It is not Melchizedek who was Christ, but it is his priesthood that is foreshadowed, is actually predetermined. I'm using foreshadow because of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. These are shadows, are shadows of the things to come. So it is important to know that this was not referring to Jesus in the historical account of Jesus receiving tithe from Abraham. Secondly, I want to you to know that when he says, and here men that die receive tithe, but there he receiveth them or receives them. This receives them is an additional. When you see in a scriptures an italicized word, it means that this word is just an addition to bring or to make sense. Because when you read in the Amplified Version, says, furthermore, here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death. But in that case, concerning Melchizedek, they are received by one whom it is testified that he lives on perpetually. So when you look at the figure of Melchizedek, it is replicated, like it is the way Jesus, who lives forever, receives. So they are received. But in that case, concerning Melchizedek, they are received by one whom it is testified that he lives perpetually. So the reason we need to look at this is, it is not the receiving of the tithe. Because when we look at that, it is easier for us to conclude that Jesus receives tithe. So when you read the text without italic words in that in the King James Version, you'll find, but they are he of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. When you read that now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithe, but they are he of whom it is witnessed that he lives forever. When you want to this, let's focus to this chapter in the nature of the priesthood of Jesus. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6. Is, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 7, he testifies, thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the writer consistently stated that Jesus is a priest forever. Melchizedek was not a priest forever. If he was a forever priesthood, there will be no basis to refer to the priesthood of Jesus as forever, since Jesus has to be after the order of Melchizedek. Since Melchizedek's priesthood was not forever, that was not the pattern Jesus followed after. I know I've just mixed you there. Okay, when we conclude that Melchizedek's priesthood is forever, then it means that he was immortal, he was God. But he was man, he died. And the order, first of all, when you look at the lineage, it was not in the line of the Levites. When you look at his beginning, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He didn't have a beginning, neither the end. So that order, it was a pattern that was picked. The pattern that was used to figuratively describe the pattern of Jesus' priesthood. It was not the eternity life of Melchizedek, but the pattern how priesthood flowed. How comes Jesus is from the order of Melchizedek? He was not within the lineage of the Levite, neither had a beginning or the end. He was the King of peace, the King of righteousness. That is what describes Jesus. When you look at Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4, the writer refers to Melchizedek as a man. That shows that he died. But the priesthood of Jesus was after the power of endless life. Hebrews 7:16. who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. So the question comes is, what then is the order or pattern in Melchizedek's priesthood that Jesus is after? And I want us to read Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 11 to 15, which will further explain this. I will read it in the New King James, then read it in the Amplified. Now therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priesthood should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of the flesh, of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I want you to look at that. Let's read it in the Amplified Version. Now, if perfection, a perfect fellowship between God and the worshiper, had been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people were given the law, what further need was there for another and a different kind of priest to arise, one in the manner of Melchizedek rather than one appointed in the order of Aaron? You see, that is a comparison. If the fellowship between God and man, you look at that, what was being perfected is the fellowship between God and man, could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, where the law was already given, then there was no need of a different kind of priest to arise in the manner of Melchizedek, because that Levitical priesthood could have met the demands, the terms and conditions and everything. Verse 12 says, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is of necessity a change of law concerning priesthood as well. So the change of priesthood means it is not in the Levitical order, so there's also a change in the terms and conditions of the law. Look at verse 13. For the one of whom these things are said belong not to the priest line of Levi, but to another tribe, from which no one has officiated or served at the altar. Jesus was the lineage of Judah. So verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord descended from the tribe of Judah, and Moses mentioned nothing about priests in connection with that tribe. Verse 15, and this becomes even more evident if another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a physical or legal requirements of the law. So you hear the change of the law was now, it was not based on what the Levites, the lineage of the Levites, it was a change of the law in the priesthood lineage. So he's saying requirement of the concerning his ancestry and descendant of Levi, but on the basis of power of an indestructible and endless life. For it is attested by God of him, you Christ are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, and the law has been adjusted. So clearly Jesus being after the order of Melchizedek is the fact that Jesus in the flesh was not a Levite, where priests ought to come from. He sprang from the tribe of Judah. Hence, just like Melchizedek had no descendant in Levites, Jesus followed that pattern. He had no descendants or no attachment to the Levites, where the Levitical priesthood came from. And when you look at that, as earlier explained, more than just being in the like of Melchizedek or in the priesthood of Melchizedek, his priesthood now will be forever. Look at verse 15. And this becomes even more evident if another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not in on the basis of the physical or legal requirements of the law, that is concerning the ancestry of the Levite, but on the basis of the power of indestructible and endless life. So this life is what determined that. This speaks of his resurrection. When you go further to verse 20, inasmuch as he was made a priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, for you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, by so much more Jesus has become a surety for a better covenant. So the surety is of a better covenant. Verse 23, also there are many priests because they were prevented by the death from continuing. So these priests that were there, what prevented them from continuing is death. But he, because he continues forever, has unchangeable priesthood. So the changing of priesthood is determined by life. If you die, it means your priesthood has ended. But now with Jesus, who had endless life, his priesthood continues forever. Its priesthood is unchangeable. Therefore, verse 25, that's New King James of Hebrews chapter 7. Therefore, he is also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So, taking a minute and observing this, that the issue with the priest in the Levitical priesthood was that they died. It ended at their death. They could not continue forever by the reason of death. But our Lord Jesus Christ has unchanging priesthood because he lives forever. This confirms the statement, men that die receive tithe, in verse 8 of the same chapter 7. He of whom is witnessed that he liveth is the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection. So the focus in this verse of in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8, the focus there is explained in their subsequent, the following verses, and that was to distinguish between the temporal priesthood and the eternal priesthood, the temporal priesthood of the Levites and the eternal priesthood of Jesus. So the focus in the 7th chapter of Hebrews is never to teach or instruct believers to practice tithe. Rather, it was about the priesthood of Jesus, how it is after the order of Melchizedek, and how it is superior to the Levitical priesthood. How it is after and how it is superior than the Levitical priesthood. In essence, the priesthood of Jesus is forever and has replaced the priesthood of Levites. And the change of priesthood that is brought about, that has brought about the change of the law, it comes and gives us a clear picture, a clear explanation that the fact that the law was no longer in force, the offerings and practices have been abolished. So the change, look at that. The law has been changed. It says, let's read that in Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 16, who has become a priest not on the basis of physical or legal requirement in the law concerning the ancestry as the descendant of Levi, but on the basis of power of indestructible and endless life. So it means that this change of this has changed the law. For on the one hand, former commandment is cancelled because of its weakness and useless because of its inability to justify the sinner before God. For the law never made anything perfect, while on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we now continually draw near to God. So it was these requirements have been abolished and a new hope has been introduced. What is this new hope? I'm reading Amplified Version. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 20. And indeed, it was not without the taking of an oath that Christ was made priest, For those Levites who formerly became priests received their office without it's being confirmed by taking of a, without an oath, but this one was designated with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn." So Jesus became a priest because the Lord had sworn and will not change. He will not relent. You are a priest forever. So the swearing of God gave him the essence of the mandate as a priest. So the law had to change from the requirements of the law to this new law that perfects and makes us right and makes us draw near to God. Its offerings and practices that have been abolished, consumed, done away with completely. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, Hebrews 12, 26 to 29. So the writer of the book of Hebrews is only referring times when tithe and were practiced both in the law and before the law and under the law in his teaching of priesthood of Jesus. So the main point was the priesthood of Jesus. Now to fully understand what we mean by all this, we'll have to walk through again, and we need to understand tithing and tithing under the law of Moses. Tithe and tithing under the law of Moses. When you read Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4, "Now consider how great this man was," that is Abraham, "tithed to Melchizedek, not under the law." It was not an obligation. It was out of volition. Then later on we see the writer says the Levites received, they were the ones who were ordained to receive tithe. So one thing I want you to carry today is the reason why Melchizedek is compared to Jesus is the pattern. Pattern first is that he was not in the lineage of the tribe of Levites. Then secondly, to be a priest. Then secondly, he in his order in a way that he says, just like the order of Melchizedek, as the order of the Melchizedek, to give us the priesthood, the superiority of the seniority of this priesthood of Jesus, that his priesthood is forever. The order is out of lineage, but now the Melchizedek is from nowhere, as the Lord has sworn. The priesthood of Jesus is going to be there forever, for ages to come. Amen and amen. Let's keep going. I pray these sessions are a blessing to you. Share and let's learn more and more. Amen.